Good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life. We wanted to make sure you were aware of a couple of special services coming up at Brookside. This Saturday, December 13th, we'll be having an adult Christmas cantata called Carols in Candlelight. There'll be great music and singing with our orchestra and choir. And each year we receive so many compliments on this, it's really an event that you don't want to miss. There'll be two services, one at 4 p.m. and one at 6 p.m. Again, that's this Saturday, December 13th, at 4 and 6 p.m. at Brookside Baptist Church. And if you're not in the area, feel free to tune in and watch it live at www.brooksidelive.com. We hope you'll be able to join us or tune in to enjoy these wonderful services. Of course, we'll also be having our Christmas Eve service at Brookside on Wednesday, December 24th, at 5 p.m. Make note that that's only one service, and that's at 5 p.m. This one will also be available online at www.brooksidelive.com. Occasionally, we have opportunities to have folks in the studio that will share their own personal testimonies about how the Word of God has impacted their lives. And today, we are thrilled to be able to have Dion and Deanna Johnson visiting with us, and want to welcome you guys.
Thanks for having us.
So glad to be able to hear your testimonies, because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we are thrilled with what God has done in your life. You guys have been married now for how long?
16 years, but I generally like to add on the 3 years that we were engaged also.
3 years you were engaged?
Yes.
Wow, it took her that long to train you, huh?
Oh, well, yeah, she wanted to finish school first, so.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. And her parents were probably pretty excited about that as well.
Yeah, I
imagine. All right. Well, that's good. 16 plus 3. All right. And Deanna, you have how many children?
I have 3 children.
Mm-hmm.
They're 19, 14, and 10.
All right. Now, are they all home?
Actually, we have one that's away at school.
Okay, the 19-year-old.
The 19-year-old. Yeah. She's actually a sophomore in college.
Okay.
And then the other two are at home with us.
All right. So the home is still bouncing then.
Oh, of course.
We had 3 boys, and I tell you what, when they were home, oh, man, the supper table was loud and a lot of laughter. So we're excited to hear what God has done in your life. Deanna, we'll just let you start spiritually at first, right?
Yes, I agree.
Tell us about the Lord in your life.
Well, my journey to Christ was pretty interesting. I'm the youngest of 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much grew up going to church, but I never really heard the gospel. I may have had it said in so many words to different churches, but it was never emphasized to me of the need of accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Mm.
So as I got older, you know, you go through life, you have difficulties that lead you in certain ways that you never think that you'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself at times wanting to commit suicide, growing up with a lot of anger and rage issues, and eventually leading into spirituality and divination.
Okay.
I remember one distinct time when I was 12 years old, and the way I look at it, I say the Lord had his hand on my life for quite some time.
Sure.
You know, because I look back and there's many instances where he delivered me or he saved me from a decision that I was going to make. And one particular time when I was 12 years old, I was going to commit suicide. And I tell my wife, and I tell my kids this also, it's like, I can still see it today.
Mm.
I was going to take a knife and cut my wrist, and I just distinctly felt this urge, and this voice kept telling me, real aggressively telling me to go ahead and do it. It'll solve all my problems. It will show my family, you make them feel sorry for the way they treated me, things of that sort.
Make them pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right at the moment I had the knife on my wrist, I heard a small voice say, if you do that, it's going to hurt. So I thought to myself, well, you know, if it's going to hurt, I'm already in enough pain. I don't want to feel the pain.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So I put that notion away from me. So then other voice came back, well, get that medication you have and take all these pills and just take an overdose. So I was going to take an overdose, and the next thing I know, I heard other voice, well, if you do that, you're going to choke, and that's going to hurt also.
Mm.
So I said, well, you know, forget this. I'm not going to do this. If it's going to hurt, I'm already in enough pain.
Right,
to deal with it.
Right.
So that was the instance when I was 12. But as I gone on further in life, I still hadn't received Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through life again, you know, and as I got a little older, I started getting involved into New Ageism and the whole idea that all roads lead to the same God. and that all the different religions of the world were pretty much worshiping the same God, but they were just calling him by different names. But somehow or another, that still left me empty, because all of my works, all of my trying to do good, getting involved with Feed the World organizations. I don't know if you ever heard of the group USA for Africa. Back in the 80s, I was involved with that, with the Live Aid and the Hands Across America stuff.
Okay.
But again, all my works still left me empty. And I mentioned how I got involved in spiritualism and divination. I used to spend time trying to divine the future. I would actually read the Bible.
To divine the future.
To divine the future.
That's a little confusing.
Yeah. Reading Revelation, because, you know, I know Revelation was all about the future, and I was just fascinated with it. But still, there was no idea that I needed to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Right. So as you are trying to find peace, trying to find meaning, was there anybody, any friend or family member, anybody that you were kind of pushing aside that had the answer at that time?
My sister Barbara actually was a believer in Christ.
Okay.
But even then, I still was doing my own thing. I saw the change in her life, and she never really directly witnessed to me.
Yeah.
However, I do remember instances in my life where I used to find the Kick Tracks all the time, and I would always read those.
Yeah.
And when I was 16 years old, I actually broke my knee playing basketball. And during the time I was having physical therapy, while I was having physical therapy, there was this young man who came in while waiting in the waiting area to go in to see my therapist.
Right.
Was going to everybody he can get to and just witnessing. You know, and to this day, I can tell you exactly what he was wearing.
Wow.
But even then, I did not receive Christ. But you know how the Bible says that one planteth, one water,
yes,
God gives the increase.
Yes, right.
So, again, I still continued on in my divination. And at the time, I really didn't realize that's what I was doing.
I see.
Because I was still under the idea that all roads lead to the same God.
Right, right.
You know, but the thing that was confusing me is why would Almighty God give different ways to reach him that contradict each other? That was the thing I found confusing.
Mm-hmm. At what age did that finally occur to you?
That occurred to me actually about age 17.
17, okay.
Yeah. And again, another distinct day I remember, I was in the class at school. It was a British authors class, like an English class.
Uh-huh.
And I still remember I had a red notebook and I wrote on it, because I used to have these real oppressive moments of depression, which I later realized was demonic influence.
Yes, exactly.
But I wrote on the notebook three times, I'm damned forever and I know it. I'm damned forever and I know it. I'm damned forever and I know it. And there's nothing I can do about it. So I had pretty much constrained myself to being lost, that there was no way for me to get to heaven.
Yeah. That was fine with Satan, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly. And I was definitely thinking that I was beyond redemption, and there was no means for me to be saved.
Right.
Now, fast forward 3 years, 20 years
20
old.
Years old.
In March of 1987,
mm-hmm.
I used to work at a pharmacy, and I had found a Gideon's Bible. You know, it was a full Gideon's Bible. Oh, somebody left their Bible here. I guess I'll just take it, you know, whenever they come back to claim it, I give it to them. So I just took it home and laid it on my shelf. So one day, I, you know, collect comic books, and I saw a scripture in a comic book.
Oh, and you thought, I've got a Bible. I can look that up.
Yeah, and the scripture was Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Yes.
The spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, that's a cool verse. It looks like it's from the Bible.
Uh-huh.
So I went and got the Gideon's Bible that I found, opened it up, and there's Ephesians. Yep, there's the scripture.
Wow.
So that's okay, fine. That's great. So I threw the Bible down. Bible opens up to Romans.
You just threw it down, the Bible opened up to Romans.
I threw it down, it opens up to Romans.
Okay.
And as if it was in 3D, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it hit me in the face, just like that.
Romans 3:23.
Yes, Romans 3:23. And so I realized the word all stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, okay, I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of understanding how to come to Christ, I began going to church. I began trying to be a better person.
Right.
And it was then when I started going to church, I started hearing the gospel.
Finally, for the first time.
Finally. Finally. So fast forward again, August 8th, 1987,
mm-hmm.
my 20th birthday.
Okay.
Had a friend of mine. We shared the same birthday. We actually went out on a date that night.
And okay.
All through that day, as I was preparing for the date, I kept, it's just like something was saying to me, it's time. a small voice again. It's like the small voice back when I was 12 years old.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And it's like I knew what it was.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So her brother was a Christian.
Okay.
And we got into a conversation about him, and she was really ripping into him, how it wasn't necessary for him to do all those things. And for some reason, I find myself defending him.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, I went to bed, and before I got it, I was just like, I hear, it's time. Either do it now or you're never going to do it.
Mm.
So I go to bed. I wake up the next morning, and my nephew's at home. And as I previously mentioned, my sister Barbara was a believer. And I was planning to go to church with her. And I asked him, where's your mother? She said she already went to church. I said, okay, well, get your clothes on and come with me. Across the street from my house, there was another church that preached the Bible that I had been previously visiting.
Okay.
And I knew I had only one objective. I understood right then and there that I was a sinner and there was a way for me to be saved. And that way was through Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
And him alone. I cannot tell you what the sermon was that day.
Couldn't wait for him to get done, though.
I couldn't wait for him to get done because I was there for one purpose. And just like the young man who witnessed to me when I was having the physical therapy,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you today what the pastor was wearing that day
right.
that I got saved.
Right.
And after the service was over and they called for anyone who wanted to accept to Christ, I got up there and with all of my heart, I accepted Christ as my Savior.
Mm.
And Pastor Huff, I kid you not, and I'm sure you can attest to this, I changed.
Well, of course. Isn't that the exciting thing?
It was so
beautiful. That which we've been trying to do all those months and years, he did.
Yes.
Exactly.
It was like a weight was lifted out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And all the anger I had towards myself, the hatred and anger I had towards others, it was gone.
Mm.
Everything that I ever tried on my own
mm-hmm.
never worked.
Mm-hmm.
Believing the Jehovah's Witnesses doctrines, the Mormons, the Islam, all that stuff that I tried, that I ventured into, none of that worked.
Wow.
When I accepted Christ, that day when I realized who I was and who he is, and I say, no one can tell me any different now.
Amen. You know, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit of God working. But we're out of time. And so we'll pick this up the next time, folks. Isn't it exciting to see how the Holy Spirit, that still small voice that speaks, that draws, and John 16 tells us that's exactly what he does. He convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, but he does it because he loves us. My friend, you may be listening to our broadcast this morning, and you may be just like Dion, who's trying to do everything he possibly can, who is definitely wanting to change, maybe even having given up hope. Listen to this testimony. Let God be your hope. Turn to Christ. Trust him as your Savior. We'll talk more about that next time we gather. God bless you.